Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
The house of God, and you should as well. It is so good to be in His presence, and thank you for making the time to be here this morning. God richly bless you for being here. Okay, so we've been studying in this season on prayer, how to pray effectively. And so let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We'll continue our lesson this morning. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And thank God. Let's start from verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Notice verse 18. The goal of all this armor is praying. Let's all say that this morning. Praying. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's also turn to John chapter 15. We'll come back to Ephesians. But let's turn to John chapter 15 and verse 7. Thank you, Lord. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." See, God has given us all this equipment. It says, put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes on and lights up all this armor that has been made available to us. But the goal, or the object, the reason for putting on the armor of God is so we can pray. And he says that pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. That means other translations say that all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer. That means that there are different kinds of prayer. And there are different rules governing each kind of prayer. And we've looked at some of them here. Recently, but the last couple of weeks, but we'll go through them. You can sum all kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of worship and praise and thanksgiving. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of commitment. There's the prayer of intercession. There's the prayer of supplication. Then there's the prayer where we all come to unified prayer, where we all come together and we pray. So all kinds of prayer. And with each kind of prayer, there are different rules governing each kind of prayer. And we mentioned the fact that, there are different rules governing the game of basketball, different kind of games that we have. And if you take the game, the rules that govern basketball, and you apply it to baseball, everybody will be confused. The players will be confused, the coaches will be confused, the spectators will be like, what's going on here? We are playing baseball, but how can we apply the rules of basketball to this game? And so all these kinds of prayer have different rules governing governing them. And like, for instance, in Acts, let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Let's see here. Prayer is not always asking God for something. Sometimes we come into His presence and we minister to the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Notice what it says. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord, this translation says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They were ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. They set aside time to minister to the Lord. And as they were ministering, the Holy Ghost said, that is the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit speaks in. As they were ministering to the Lord, as they were worshiping, this translation said, and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians 5, 19. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The key here is prayer. It's not just God, give me, give me, give me. There's that kind of prayer as well. But in this case, they were ministering to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. The King James says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So as they were ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, that is the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit speaks in. So sometimes we come into his presence and we are doing exactly what he says here, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And then God speaks. This season, I pray that as you set aside time to minister to the Lord, may you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you through his word and speaking to your heart as well. If that's you, say a big amen this morning. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's not just all about asking, but it's also ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. So many times, sometimes when we come to pray, we are like the gentleman that said, my name is Jimmy. I will take all you give me. I pray only for myself, my wife, and my children. Us, bless us and nobody else. Us and no more. No, but we come and sometimes just ministering to the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's turn to, and I'll recap some of the things we've talked about. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's look at that story again. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So to have an effective prayer life, it's very important that we have a schedule. He prayed three times a day as he had done previously. So he had a schedule to pray. And when the king made a decree and said, nobody should pray to any other god within the next 30 days, Daniel said, forget that. There is no way I can go for 30 days and not talk to my God. He opened the windows where everybody could see him, and he prayed three times a day, like he had done previously. And later on, when the king came, the king was troubled because the thing that he had done, the decree that he had made, he couldn't change it. And so verse 16 said, then the king commanded and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. That's a key phrase. The God whom you serve continually deliver you. That means that by now he's realized, he's come to know Daniel as someone who is consistent in his service to God. He doesn't just serve God one day and the next that day doesn't serve him. He serves God continually. That's so important. Serving God consistently. Serving God continually. You say, what happened? What happened? In verse 20, he says, as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Has your God, whom you serve, continually delivered you? Daniel responded and said, yes, sir. Oh, my God has come through. He shut the mouth of the lions and they have not been able to do any harm. In this season, as you maintain a lifestyle of serving God, of praying to God, may any lions that have come against your life, may anything from the enemy that has come against your life cease in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. The God that he serves continually has delivered him. Now, let's go to another kind of prayer here, just right there in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Father. The prayer of petition, where we take God's word to him and remind him of his promises. Notice what he says. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. God in Jeremiah chapter 29, he references there in his prayer, but let's look at what God said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Thank you, Father. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Notice here, he says 70 years you go. And verse 11 says, I know. So many times we quote that verse. But he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Oh, those plans are not just going to fulfill themselves automatically. Oh, we have to call upon God for his plans to be fulfilled. Oh, glory. So when Daniel realized that, he got to the point, oh, 70 years have come. We are not supposed to be in captivity anymore. We are supposed to come out of captivity. He set himself and began to pray and fast for those promises to be fulfilled. Oh, glory. What are you going to do when your finances is arrested? What are you going to do when your health is arrested? God said he has delivered us from them all. He has delivered us from all these things. Are you just going to sit and look at those scriptures and let them pass? No. Daniel said, God has said, 70 years have ended. We are supposed to be out of captivity. We are not supposed to be in captivity. He took those promises. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. But you get to that point and say, God, you have said it. Your plans for my life must be fulfilled. You get on your knees. You get into your closet. You get into prayer. God, you said it. Now do it. Oh, glory. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Those plans are not just going to fulfill themselves. I know the plans I have for you, but call unto me. Seek me and you will find me. Call unto me and I will restore and turn around your captivity. Thank you, Father, my Lord and my God. I'm ready to run around this building already. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It's not a matter of going to God and begging. That's where the verse we read in John 15:7. If my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will and it will be done for you. A successful prayer life must be based on the word of God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Those are the best form of prayer is to take his word to him, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26. Thank you, Lord. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that you may be justified. Put me in remembrance of what? Of my word. That's what Daniel did. Put me in remembrance. He put God in remembrance of his word. He brought and let us plead together. It's an open invitation. So you go with his word. And then also Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Isaiah 41, 21. Thank you, Lord. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Produce your cause. Bring your case to the Lord. Say, who is saying it? The King of Jacob. If it was your father or any human being, that's a different case. But we are talking about God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Bring your cause. Bring forth your strong reason. So many times, sometimes my wife and I would sit down, produce our case. God, this is what your word says. Put those scriptures, write it down, and sign our name to it. We are presenting and pleading our case. Thank you, Father. What authority he has given to us through his word. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what Abraham did in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Genesis chapter 18. Thank you, Father. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. Thank you, Lord. He went pleading his case, and God responded. And the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In other words, God, you are going to do right about this situation, aren't you? And he kept negotiating till he got down to 10. And God said, if I find 10 people in there, I wouldn't destroy the land. I wish he had gone further. But the point here is, Abraham was standing before God and presenting his case. You are the judge of the earth. Are you going to do right about the situation? And he was standing on his before God, unashamed and unafraid, pleading his case, bringing his strong reasons. And God, every time he said it, God said, yes, I will do what you have said. If I find this number of people in there, I wouldn't destroy the land. The key here is we have to stand our ground. We have to stand. Go to God with his word. And pray in line with the word of God. We will get answers. We will get answers. Think about Abraham. He was in the Old Testament. He was in the Old Covenant. How much more we that are in the New Covenant? Oh, we have the power of the Word of God. We have the power of the name of Jesus. We can stand on the authority of his Word and take our place. Thank you, Father. You see, read again. If James chapter 5, verse 16. There is so much power released when we pray. James chapter 5, verse 16. So much power is released when we pray. James chapter 5, verse 16. I love it so much from the Amplified. What he says, glory be to the name of the Lord. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The continued heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and constitutions like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. He was a human being just like us, is what he's saying. But he's saying here is the prayer of a righteous man. You see, so much of the frustration in prayer stems from the fact that we don't know who we are in Christ. If you know, when we know what God has made us to be in him, when we go, we are, the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. We go boldly. In Hebrews chapter 4, towards the end, he says that come boldly to the throne room of grace. So we go boldly because we know we are going there not in our own righteousness, but in the fact that he has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. We are not begging suppliants, begging God for favors. No, we are going boldly based on his word. It says it makes tremendous power available. But in Revelations, we get an idea of how much power is made available. Revelations chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. Thank you, Lord. How much power is made available. So he says, thank you, Father. Revelations chapter 8. Revelations chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. Notice what he says. Thank you, Lord. He says, and another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the saints of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. When we pray, it goes through a heavenly transaction, and God responds with power that can be seen, power that can be felt, power that can be heard. Oh, glory. That is why we must make endeavor to pray. That is what happened in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. When Paul and Silas were in the darkest hour of their lives, they were preaching the gospel and they had been thrown in prison at midnight. That midnight hour may be just be symbolic. It may be to represent the darkest hour of your life. Oh, you go to God and you lift up your voice in prayer. God responded with an earthquake and shook that prison. And they went free. You see, we may remain in captivity when we don't pray. And the prayer, this part, and the prayer, it can be seen, felt, and heard. Revelation 5 says that, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the throne, each holding a lamp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Our prayers can influence people, every people. It can influence our lives, every nation. No one has gone too far for God to reach them. That unsaved family member, this power can draw them back to God and bring them into the kingdom of God. I remember one time I kept praying for a close relative of mine. She was in some circumstances that didn't line up with the will of God. But one day I got up and I took my authority and I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, devil, take your hands off of this individual. I claim their deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. And in a couple of weeks, he straightened up. You see, nobody, I can tell you, nobody in their right mind will see a cliff where they'll be on a road and see a valley and drive themselves down to that valley. Nobody will do that. Nobody will knowing about heaven and hell, will drive themselves into hell. No. Is the enemy that blinds the minds of people. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. The enemy is the one that blinds the minds of people. And so we take our stance in authority. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, verse 3 says, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the best way to pray for an unsaved one is to say, and you have authority there, especially in your own household, is to say, devil, I break your power over the life of this person. Put your names there. That the light of the glorious gospel will shine through them. And then the next thing that you do is to pray that God send laborers. Sometimes they may not be willing to listen to you. They wouldn't want to listen to you. God send laborers across their path that they will listen to, so they can hear the word of God and be born again. And be born again. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Thank you, Father. Referencing, this is a very important scripture here. He says, when he saw the crowds, Matthew 9:36, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd will be harassed. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. No matter how intelligent a sheep is, I tell you, if you take that, put that sheep on I-25 and say, sheep, go to Denver, that sheep will not make it to Denver. I can assure you of that. It's going to get lost. The Greek word for pastor is shepherd. Shepherds have been sent in the body of Christ to guide us on the path of life, to guide us to where we are supposed to go. But here, notice, he says that the harvest is ripe, plentiful. The laborers are few. Why doesn't he just send people into the harvest? No, he's saying, pray to me, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the harvest. So for that unsaved loved one, the enemy is the one blinding their mind. So you take your stand and break the power of the enemy and say, Lord, maybe they may not listen to me. Maybe you have spoken so many times to them, they won't listen to you. But there is somebody out there that they will listen to. There is somebody out there. Lord, send a laborer across their path. And very soon or later, you will hear the good news that they have come into the kingdom of God. And the next point is, when we pray, we must pray in faith, believing for the answer. When it is in line with the word of God, pray in faith, believing that you receive. The moment that you pray, Mark 11:24. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This is talking about prayer here. Therefore, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. When do you believe that you received? The moment that you pray. From then on, just go ahead and give praise and thanksgiving to God. He's out there working on your behalf. When you pray, whatever you ask in prayer, this is talking about prayer, isn't it? Believe that you have received. And it will be yours. Prayer must be done believing that you receive. The believing that you receive comes first before it becomes yours. So many times we reverse it around. We want to see first before we believe. God reverses it around. Believe that you receive and then it will be yours. Thank you, Father. That's what Hannah did. She had kept going in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She had been going into the temple of God and praying continually. What she needed was a baby. One day she got there, and so to speak, she said, enough is enough. But notice what she did. Thank you, Father. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long would you go on being drunk? put out your wine away from you. But Hannah said, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Notice, this is important. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. As soon as Eli said, may the Lord grant your petition, may the Lord grant you the answer to your prayer, she went away, wiped her face, and she was no longer sad. She believed at that moment that she had received a baby. There is no baby inside, but from today, I have settled this issue. I have received the petition that I've asked of the Lord. There is no more need to be sad. Go forth rejoicing. This morning, I don't know which area of your life there may be barrenness in, but in the mighty name of Jesus, may an end come to that barrenness. In the mighty name of Jesus. So far as he was concerned, there was a baby on the way. It was a settled issue. You see, that's the thing. Which when we pray, we have to be in expectation. We have to expect answers when we pray. Don't just be praying for praying's sake. If you are ministering to the Lord, that's one thing. But if when we are praying to change something or to see answers, something change, be in expectancy. Prayer without expectancy equals frustration. But we have to expect when we pray. Expect when we pray. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, for surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there is an end. No matter the battles of life, no matter what you are confronted with, surely this morning God is saying there is an end. Surely there is an end. But that end is tied to your expectation. Surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Oh, glory. That's what Job realized. In Job chapter 14, verse 14, he said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. He knew that surely there is an end. Surely. There is an end. Surely my change will come. This circumstance and situation that I'm in is not forever. Oh, surely all the days of my appointed time, I wait till my change comes. He's the one that says in Job chapter 19, 25, he said, my Redeemer lives. And at the latter end, I know he will come through for me. And God turned around the captivity of Job and restored him. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, in this season, as we endeavor to press in prayer, the same God that turned the captivity of Hannah, the same God that turned the captivity of Job, may that same God turn around your captivity. If that's you, say a big amen. Oh, glory. Ah, surely there's an end. surely there's an end. But when that end gets there, well, to get to that place, you have to be like Daniel and stand on your watch and say, God, oh, my captivity has to come to an end. My captivity has to come to an end. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God answers prayer. Let's all say this this morning. God answers prayer. He's a prayer answering God. Think about it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28, there's an interesting scripture there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28. Thank you, Father. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you have it by you. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again, when you have it by you. Don't say to your neighbor, so think about God. We are not even neighbors of God. We are children of the Most High God. So when we go with our petition, He won't tell you go and come again when it is in the power of His hands to help you. This morning, may you receive help from God. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again. When we go to God and pray, it is in the power of His hand to help us. And thank God He does. Thank God He does. But the thing is, we have to go based on His word. Go in prayer. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, when it is in the power of your hand to help him. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. No, God won't tell you that. When He's a loving Father that wants, that longs for our fellowship, that longs to answer prayer, that longs to, but the thing is, we remain in captivity when we don't pray. Now, like I said, the laborers, He longs to answer our prayers, but we have to go to Him based on His word and believe that we receive. The hand of God is open this morning. Psalm 145, verse 16. Notice what he says. Psalm 145, verse 16. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. This morning, the hand of God, Psalm 145, 16. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. This morning, His hands are open. God is not tight-fisted. This morning, His hands are open. This morning, His hands are open. I pray that He opens His hands and fulfill the desire that you have for Him. And in this season as well, He's out perfecting everything that concerns us. When we pray, He perfects everything that concerns us. Psalm 138, verse 7 to 8. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 138, 7 to 8. Thank you, Lord. I pray that God perfects everything concerning your life. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. May the Lord perfect everything that concerns you. You see, prayer causes us to be under an open heaven. I want to stir us up to prayer. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Prayer causes us to be under an open heaven. Thank you, Lord. Jesus started His ministry with prayer. Throughout His ministry, He continued to pray. Even before He selected His disciples, He prayed all night. And He continued to pray. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, everybody was being baptized. Everybody was going through the motions. The difference with Jesus was, He was praying. Now, when all the people were baptized, And when Jesus has also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son. I am well pleased. Prayer causes us to be under an open heaven. Everywhere you go, there is the fragrance of heaven about you. You are surrounded with favor like a seal. You are under an open heaven, and the blessings of God are made manifest in your life spiritually and materially as well. Everyone was just going to the water cammer, going to the water cammer. Jesus took a different approach. He went in and he was praying. And the heavens open. This morning, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus in this season, in this month of July, that number 7, may God perfect everything that concerns you. As we endeavor to pray, may you be under an open heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. A number of days ago, we were here on Friday night. We were praying, and we got a message that one of us, their granddaughter was born with a glucose issue, and the glucose wasn't being regulated. And right here, we all came together in agreement. The first words that came out of my mouth, I said, "This is not from God. Baby shouldn't be born with glucose levels not normal." Those are the first words that came out of my mouth. This is not God. This is not God. This is not God. This is not God. And I said, let's all come together and pray. We agreed and prayed that baby will be made normal. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And a couple of days, we got a message that the baby is normal. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, based on his word, you see, it doesn't have, sometimes we think that it's in the multitude of people. No. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18 down, it says, where two of you are gathered together. Let's stand there. We'll wrap up with that. Thank you, Father. Matthew chapter 18. Glory be unto the name of the Lord. Let's start from verse 18. It says, truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now you get to the prayer of agreement. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. There am I among them. I am among them in the power of my name to see that what they agree and ask will come to pass. If two of you agree on earth, where are we? We are on earth. We aren't in heaven yet, right? Whatever two of you on earth agree on earth about anything. This is limitless, placed power and authority placed our hand. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Husband and wife can agree. Get a friend to agree with. Produce your cause, like he says, and present it before God. And what did he say? He says maybe he will do it. No, that's not what he says. He says, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Power in prayer that I pray in this season we will take advantage of. In the mighty name of Jesus, in our individual life and as a corporate body, as we pray, power is released. Tremendous power is released. And the answers are forthcoming. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that your prayer life will go to another level. your prayer life will go to another level. As a church, as when we come together, we'll begin to pray and see more answers to prayer. Is there up there waiting? Oh, don't say to your neighbor, go and come back again. God won't say that to us. He will give us the petitions that we have desired. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's spend some time praying this morning. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. He opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. He opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Oh, this morning, I don't know what you are confronted with. Surely there is an end. Surely there is an end. And your expectation will not be cut off. Lift up your voice this morning to God. Lift up your voice this morning to God. Hannah got to the point where she said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I want a baby, and this is my season. This is my season. God's hand is open. God's hand is open this morning. Lift up your voice to God. Let's rise to our feet, please. And raise up our hands and begin to call upon God. Begin to call upon God. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit if you can. And pray with your understanding. Lift up your voice. He said, praying at all times in the spirit. Oh, let your supplication, let your petitions be made known to God. Let your request be made known to God. Lift up your voice. 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 Thank you, Father. Lift up your voice. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Oh, he will hear your cry. He will hear your voice in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Shabbat. Redosa. Lift up your voice. Thank you, Father. Oh, his presence is here this morning. No matter what you are confronted with, surely there is an end. Surely there is an end. Surely there is an end. Oh, glory be to the name of our Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of our Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of our Lord. Oh, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Glory be to the name of our Lord. And if you are here this morning, or if you are listening online, and you say, I am so frustrated with life, or there is a need in my life, or I don't know God, your first step is to come into a right relationship this morning. I want to lead you to a relationship. Your first prayer that you have to pray is a prayer to come into a relationship with God. If you are like that, just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I have heard your word. I believe you were raised from the dead. I confess you as my Lord. Thank you. I'm saved. Let's all say this together, please. Father, we thank you for Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that because of Jesus, the way has been made for us to come boldly to the throne room of grace to obtain help in the time of need. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you that you have stepped in to the circumstances of our lives and turn it around. Oh, give him praise and glory one more time. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you so much because you first loved us. You are so good and your mercy endures forever. You open your heart and you satisfy the desire of our heart. Thank you. Choose a blessing. May God bless you. May He keep you. His face to shine on you, and may He give you His peace, His shalom. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of this week. May He put a song and a testimony in your mouth. May you see the blessing of the Lord in your life. And everybody said a big, big amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.